Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan Expressway is coming up in 20 minutes. We're going to talk with one of the best Cowboys reporters out there, John Mishota from The Athletic in 20. Here's Chief with the finest.
Okay, so the bad news is it doesn't seem like, according to his Twitter account, it doesn't seem like we're going to be getting any wild card or playoff John Gruden Icy Players of the Week.
Why not?
So I hate to break that news to you. That's just what I have no sources on this other than just going to his Twitter account, where usually he pumps out a video by Tuesday of each week and gives us his Nicey Players of the Week.
Wasn't feeling nicey.
Maybe no one had him feeling nicey, or he's just kind of mailing it in for the playoffs. But we know this is a guy that hasn't won a playoff game in over 22 years. So maybe he's just anti-playoffs at this point. I don't know. That's the bad news. The good news is, though, it looks like the Gruden's QB camp is making a return.
Oh, there you go.
To Barstool. He says Gruden's QB camp preparations are underway. He's had some small school, no-name quarterbacks in already, but hopefully he'll get some of the big dogs, and throughout the draft process, we'll get the Gruden QB camp stuff populating again. That used to be one of my favorite things when he was at ESPN. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. I figured that had to be in the making, you know, because that was one of the most popular things that he ever did. It was creating entertainment. I felt like we learned from that. You know, you learned about the quarterbacks, you learned about scheme, and he did it in an entertaining way. Obviously, it was edited together to bring out the best 5 or 6 minutes of,
right,
you know, an hour-long session or whatever. So it's cool that's coming back, but I feel like the brand is just exploding here for Gruden. He probably has a lot of fans across the NFL that are anxious to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, maybe Broadus will figure out why we're not getting any postseason nicey. Yeah, just let him know that we love him and we appreciate those videos.
He might have waited for the wild card game to conclude. You know what I'm saying?
That could be.
Oh, because Monday there was only six games. We're in the regular season.
There's no way Jared Verse did not have him feeling nicey.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, speaking of the QB camp and whatnot with Gruden, we got the Mahomes update here. Him and his wife announced that they had their baby, and so he has been sort of in dad mode
number three
for the last 3 weeks. Yeah, number three, man, just cranking him out. And
that's like a Chia follow pace.
Yeah, he's really putting up some numbers here. I wonder if he's going to get the old. It's got to be vasectomy time for Pat. You'd think. I mean, at least from my experience. Granted, he's got the financial security to just pump out as many as he wants, of course.
You got unlimited resources. You can take care of these kids. You got a great wife and probably at least one nanny by now. I might drop a second nanny in there at this point.
Probably drop a second. Yeah.
You know?
Three or four on the scale. Nanny. Don't want to get too dangerous with it.
No.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm such an elite athlete at this point, and as much as I love the kids' sports, if I had unlimited resources, I don't know what would stop me, you know, from just having more and more and more. And
wow.
Let's have a full-on, at least starting five, You know, I got you. Maybe we'll work on a baseball team after that.
Well, we'll see what's in store. But now he has flipped over from dad mode to championship mode. And he switched his profile photo on his social medias to a photo of him wearing some sunglasses and having all three of his Super Bowl rings up in the picture. So that's the mode that he's in right now. And the Texans are going to be his next victim.
How many is he going to end up with? What's he need? He needs four to tie Brady. You know, that's got to be the goal.
Four more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get the three-peat, you've done something Tom hasn't done. But at that point, you're more than halfway home and on a roll. And if you can get it done this year with how strong Buffalo and Baltimore are, then I don't think there's any reason to believe that they wouldn't win it again next year.
Now, we have the latest odds for the Dallas Cowboys' next head coach.
Deion Sanders.
Deion is the leader in the clubhouse here.
Wow.
Who do you think's number two?
Kellen Moore.
Mike Zimmer.
Jason Witten.
Oh, he's moved up to number two.
He's moved up to number two. He has unseated Kellen Moore in the odds. It is Deion, Jason Witten, and then Kellen Moore. That's where things stand. And you gotta go real far down the list before you see at 40-1 Aaron Glenn's name pop up.
Wow. And, I might throw some money on that.
He's obviously the guy that I think at this point we'd all be most interested in. I will say Rich Cimini of ESPN, who covers the Jets, says that that Aaron Glenn is apparently really interested in the job. He is their number one candidate that they want. He's really interested in the job. It's been a job that he's had his eye on for several years, according to Rich Cimini. And he says, I think he'd love to come back home, so to speak, because, of course, Aaron Glenn started his career being drafted by the Jets and then actually circled back and was a scout for them for a year.
Yeah.
In,
he wanted to learn
2012.
Wanted to learn that entire operation is what he said.
Yeah,
sounds like a head coach to me.
He does. Yes, this is a very well-rounded.
He's got to look at himself as like, I'm going to be the savior of this. I'm going to tie everything together and fix the issues of the team that drafted me. I'm gonna help the owner, you know, build a quality football program. And I could see that. You know, if you've had that level of success, why wouldn't you bet on yourself? But man, that would be terrifying. I think like going home where maybe you've set roots down would be the real explanation. Like I just want to go back to New York City and be around friends and family and who else, what's going on there? Because I mean, objectively, I don't think anybody can fix that situation.
No, you know? It seems like that's just cursed. It really, really does in New York. But maybe we get a Glenn off because the Saints are into it. And if you got two people that are Glenning off, I don't think Jerry's going to want to be part of that. Then now the price is rising.
You don't think Jerry would enter himself into a Glenn off?
I think so.
You think the price goes up, Jerry's going to put out the check?
I think Jerry is going to trust that he is a better salesman than either one of those two teams.
But then get him at his price.
He did win the Terry Glenn off.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be at his price, but I think that Jerry, if he goes after this, which I honestly believe he's on Dallas's radar, Jerry is going to, when it comes down to him having to close the deal, I believe he can get this thing done if it's the Saints and the Jets involved. If in fact he wants this particular guy, if they interview him and it's three, I think Jerry believes he could sell this deal.
Is he gonna win the Glenn off?
He knows the G in Glenn stands for glory hole. And that's ultimately what he wants.
Some glory hole.
From the Jets' potential next head coach to their previous, Robert Saleh. Real buzz, apparently, that Robert Saleh's chances of becoming the Jaguars' next head coach are an actual thing. Now, we were thinking maybe it's going to be Ben Johnson. We know that he's had some interest there. But it sounds like Tom Brady's presence within the Raiders organization has really opened the door to Ben Johnson feeling like that might be a place that he wants to go. So right now, I think it's Ben Johnson to the Raiders, and maybe it's Robert Saleh getting a head job with the Jags.
The possibility, and I mentioned with Johnson being able to bring his own guy, with Tom Telesco being out with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Again, keep an eye on my guy John Dorsey.
Sure.
They're in Detroit potentially going with Ben Johnson if he gets an opportunity. I thought maybe that Jacksonville would be a place they could land and just, you know, blow that whole thing out. But, you know, if the Raiders are involved, well, we'll see how that plays. But, man, it's so funny. This this thing with Brady, I mean, the influence he has. There's no way he could be a broadcaster again next year, right?
I don't think so.
He's got to be. I mean, has he just become president of the Raiders and run the operation for Al Davis?
The money's huge.
Mark Davis, excuse me?
The money is huge, but, I mean, so is the embarrassment. I don't think it's quite as bad as Jason Witten, so maybe he'd want to stick with it for a year or two, see if it gets better. I mean, isn't it like $20 million a year? He's getting like $1 million a game.
He's getting a ton of money. He does get the Commanders-Lions game. Now, technically, he's not allowed to talk to the coaches and the players, but... maybe there's a little bit of a private Ben Johnson meeting with Tommy Brady ahead of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the other part, too, is because you have Tom Brady. Isn't Fox going to be calling that game?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, so him talking about Ben Johnson the whole time and buttering him up. And
should we listen, like, how glowing is he for Ben Johnson? Is he just, like, total? Or maybe he does the Josh Allen, where he's just talking down on him to try and sour the rest of the league.
Oh, yeah, like Allen was doing to Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ben Johnson, that's a terrible play call right there.
Yeah, yeah, just not good. Not
what was
good
Ben
at all.
Thinking here?
Do you guys know how many days we are away from the first round of the NFL draft?
100.
100 days until the 2025 NFL draft.
It's gonna be here before you know
just
it.
Just outside of Lambeau Field. That's beautiful. How was the draft show today, fellas?
It's fun. It was a good one.
Who'd we draft?
We didn't draft anybody today.
We talked about our misses. We talked about our hits and our misses from last
accountability.
Year. Accountability show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What was your biggest miss? What did you just say, hey, I got to fall on this sword? I'm not a dumbass, but I was in this moment.
Oh, I mentioned both quarterbacks. I mentioned Drake May and Nix.
Yeah, Nix and Caden Bullock, the safety for the Houston Texans, who I wanted to play as a corner.
Yeah.
Because he's a good ball hawk, and he did get some picks this year, but I thought he was just too light to play safety. Had a hell of a year for the Texans. Mm-hmm. I was wrong there.
I bet Jerry was throwing a party today when he saw the power of the Dallas Cowboys on television when the ratings came out, because last year you had Cowboys on a Sunday 3:30 kick versus the Packers, and you just had the same thing now a year later with the Eagles. Same time slot, same network, same opponent. And it was 36 million viewers for Packers Eagles over the weekend. Last season, it was 44 million for Packers Cowboys. So pretty substantial difference there in the number of viewers when you just swap out Cowboys for Eagles 1 year ago.
And that to me is why the Cowboys managed to just make the playoffs, because the relevant TV games for the Cowboys are so important for the league's health. You know, mm-hmm. you're looking at 30% difference there. That's tens of millions of dollars over the course of a season. If we can just stay good enough to keep everybody engaged.
Yeah, it's all about. And I mean, even they stunk in the Monday night ratings, like the biggest Monday night game they've ever had, week 13 against the Bengals, or week 15, whatever it was. So, yeah, they really don't even need a winning record.
It's ridiculous. Okay, let's tee up the Manning cast. Last night you had Peyton and Eli, and how about Peyton Manning giving some advice to quarterbacks? I think this is sound wisdom from one of the game's legends.
These linemen gifts now, okay? A couple rules. I mean, you and I did them, right? And take care of these guys because they deserve to be taken care of. But we have to spend our own money, quarterbacks. We can't be using sponsors and credit and putting it all on TV. We have to actually spend money. So I'm not accusing anybody of not spending money, but let's be sure we keep spending our money.
I want to hear some
to take
example.
Care of our line.
It's like a promotion.
I'm just saying, we have to spend our money. All right. And the other thing, it's not a Christmas gift. You have to block well to get a gift. You don't have, like, a couple years, like, we didn't make the playoffs. I didn't get my guys anything. Like, you didn't block that well. So you don't feel obligated, quarterbacks, if you don't, your team doesn't make the playoffs, you have to get them a gift. That's like a participation medal. Block well, I'll give you a gift, right? No wolf, no part, okay? No playoffs, no gift.
I think that's pretty fantastic stuff there. And I don't think anybody is abiding by that Peyton Manning rule right now. I mean, heck, the Cowboys offensive lineman got gifts this year.
You know? Yeah, I guess they've just become kind of standard here. But I love that. You know, I think Peyton Manning knows how to inspire and accountability and all that. Give a little incentive out there. You don't want to be the offensive line that didn't get any gifts.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he was calling out Brock Purdy. Because Purdy did the Toyota Tundra thing. All of his guys got the truck, got like a little Toyota deal.
That's what it's become is the sponsors involved.
Probably didn't even have to pay for it.
I think Joe Burrow, like, he doesn't have a katana sword sponsorship from what I understand. I think he really went out of pocket with that.
He did.
But even like Mahomes, I think probably.
$50 million or so, right?
Oh, yeah, no, he's got some serious
coins.
Well,
and he made the decision they wanted guns. And he said, guys, we're not doing guns. Okay, what's another weapon that's pretty damn cool? Let's do swords.
Yeah, well, the thing with it's impressive with Purdy, he went above and beyond, if you look at that, because his salary is extremely low. He probably couldn't afford the best gifts.
Oh, no.
But he outdid all the other quarterbacks.
Yes.
For being like the one of the,
he's got low, the sponsorship deal.
For being one of the lowest paid starting quarterbacks, he outdid dudes that were making $50 million.
Yeah. Those fully loaded trucks.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were fully loaded. Yeah.
No, those Tundras are the real deal.
I was thinking about one.
Yeah.
They look delish. Look more and more badass
every
year.
They do, man. Yeah. They've really
done a nice
up.
Job with them. Okay, and I never thought I'd get a foreign full-size truck, but that would be definitely in my consideration there if I'm calling D&M Leasing. All righty. Thank you, Chief. In addition to the finest is in the books, let's hit the expressway. We'll talk with John Mashota about Cowboys football, the coaching search, and where it goes next. Coming.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Up next in the nation. All righty, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. This segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. We're going commercial free to the top. LA Live's coming up in about 15 minutes. We're going to talk with John Mashota here of The Athletic, all things Cowboys. The Expressway is presented by the on-time experts. And a good afternoon, John. How the heck are you? Okay, John Mashota coming up here momentarily. Of course, the big story of the day is everybody trying to answer for themselves how serious of a candidate is Deion Sanders to be the next head coach of the Cowboys. I could see engagement farming. I could see Rooney Rule obligations. And if that's the case, then of course you couldn't let off any indication that it's not a serious interview. So there's a lot of different possibilities, I think. I was surprised last night when the news came across that, you know, the Cowboys were seriously considering it. We interviewed Jordan Schultz, the Fox Sports NFL insider back there at 3:20. And he stood on it, said it's legitimate, considers him one of the finalists. Brian, what's your read on this overall situation?
Yeah, and just talking to a bunch of people, and this can go a lot of different ways because of Jerry Jones and, you know, Stephen Jones, and he has an affection for Deion Sanders. Just talking to a number of people around the league last night, I just believe that this is a situation where Deion is trying to squeeze Colorado for some more funds. And, you know, that bunch right there generated a lot of money for Colorado. So,
yeah.
But I feel like that we'll see if in fact this changes and that he becomes a serious candidate. But I think Jerry's doing Deion a favor, and I think Deion's doing Jerry a favor.
Well, I mean, to that point, the visibility that Deion has given the Colorado program and the brand
unbelievable.
Is worth way more than the $6 million a year I believe they're paying him.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it's time now to talk with John Mashota here of The Athletic on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with the decision to not bring back Mike McCarthy. Did that surprise you?
It did. It did, because I felt like Jerry would stay on the same path that he has been on for several years, where he leaned into more of maybe doing what's the most comfortable thing. you know, he talked about being all in the off season ad nauseum. And obviously that didn't mean all in and actual adding free agents and things like that. And so I felt like this season would be an all in thing where if it didn't go well, maybe he goes in another direction. And he ended up doing that. But I still believe that what was more comfortable was just going another couple years with Mike McCarthy, because there really isn't that obvious coaching candidate out there that as we see right now that where we sit today. So I thought he would do what was the most comfortable thing, but he didn't. And so now they have to look for a new coach, and that's probably going to be a little uncomfortable. So that's why it makes it interesting.
Do you agree with or do you confirm the report that it came down to Mike wanting more years than the Cowboys were willing to give him at this point?
That's this, what I've heard, but I can't say it's definitive. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you hear when something like this goes down. But it's also pretty fascinating to me because it's Cowboys thing that the who is the one that was the first to pull away is such a big story, not as much as like, well, where are they going to go next? It's like, hold on. Let's focus more in on this to the point of if he gets that job in Chicago or New Orleans, like people like myself are going to be very interested in that opening press conference and what he says, because they'll certainly be asked about why things didn't work out in Dallas. And I'm not saying that's not a storyline with other teams, but certainly with the Dallas Cowboys, certainly with Jerry Jones involved, it is fascinating how we don't know definitively who's the one that was the first to back away, because you can certainly see what Jerry Jones would want to do only a year or two, just with the direction things have been going. And then I can see why Mike McCarthy would want the stability of a longer term deal, not just for himself, but for his assistant coaches. So I can see both sides of it, but I don't know definitively. I have not heard anything about numbers being discussed or anything like that. And if you were really in a contract negotiation, aren't some at least parameters of numbers being put out there? So I don't think it got that close.
How do you think Dak feels about McCarthy being gone, and how would you describe their relationship over the last 5 years?
Oh, they had a good relationship, but I just think that Dak's been in this thing for over nine seasons now. So it's not like Mike McCarthy was his first coach, and it's not like, you know, it's not like when you go to high school, you're the same coach the entire time, or he goes to Mississippi State and he's going to play for Dan Mullen. Like, you get in the NFL, and if you play long enough, you know that this is going to happen. And so I guess my thing is, I'm sure he's more used to this now just because of the fact that, well, Jason Garrett was his first head coach, and then they moved on from him. And then he had a play caller in Kellen Moore who he liked, and they moved on from him. And he liked Mike McCarthy. He spoke out about that multiple times over the past year about wanting to continue with Mike, but he also understands that this is a business. Obviously, it's a business that's paid Dak very well. But I don't think that there's anything to anybody that Dak would want him gone. I don't feel that's the case at all. But yeah.
Happy early birthday, John. As Sean Machado of The Athletic joins us here in the G-Bag Nation. Do you think, I mean, they've talked a lot about continuity in the past. Now you don't have Mike McCarthy. It seemed like the defense, maybe they struggled early because you had a new defensive coordinator. Do you see Mike Zimmer and or even a Brian Schottenheimer or anybody else on the staff being serious consideration to become the new head coach to try and keep some continuity?
Not as a head coach, no. I would say
Could you try moving just a little bit there with the yep. cell connection? We're probably getting 90% of it. Yeah, that's good.
I would say that I can't see any of them being the head coach, but I can see a scenario where Jerry hires somebody to be, maybe it's an offensive coordinator type who hasn't been a head coach before. And I could see Jerry being like, well, what about pairing that person with Mike Zimmer as the DC? Because Mike Zimmer obviously is a veteran coach with a head coaching, you know, background. And that would be a great, you know, kind of sounding board for whoever this next coach is, who, whether it be, let's say, a Kellen Moore, let's say Joe Brady, somebody that's a more offensive mind, you'd want to pair them with a defensive coach who's got more experience. And so I think that would make sense. But in terms of a head coach, no, I firmly believe the head coach will be somebody that's not on the staff.
Do you expect Jason Witten to be on the coaching staff in some capacity?
I don't. I think that for Jason Witten, it would either be to be the head coach or it won't be on this staff. And the only reason I say that is because I feel like if you're the head coach and you're hired to have that job, you know, I mean, I guess if they go with a young guy, it's possible. But if you're, let's say, Ron Rivera or Pete Carroll or John Gruden, like, are you going to really want Jason Witten? You're just going to feel like all you're doing, you're just there to prep him to be the next head coach of the Cowboys. And maybe it's the Cowboys. It's dysfunctional. Maybe that ends up being part of the plan. I just talked myself into that right now with you guys on the air. So maybe that is the plan. Maybe you would get a Pete Carroll type, and then you'd bring in Jason Witten as the tight ends coach, and Jason Witten as the successor. I mean, with the Cowboys, you can't 100% rule that out.
John, do you expect them to have a couple of interviews, you know, with some guys that aren't in the playoffs, but then fully, like, interview your beloved Detroit Lions coaches between, you know, potentially the Super Bowl weekend and the, you know, NFC, the championship games? That off week?
I would hope so. I don't know how you're doing your due diligence if you're not interviewing one or both of those coordinators. I mean, Aaron Glenn with the Cowboys ties, Ben Johnson for what he's done for Jared Goff. I don't know how you couldn't look at that and go, man, what could he do over here, and how much could he help Dak? I mean, just what the perception of Jared Goff was 3 years ago to what it is now after working with Ben Johnson is night and day. To have to attach a first-round pick to Jared Goff to just get you to take him off of their hands, and then he's turned him into one of the top players, not just quarterbacks, top players in the NFL. That's crazy. And so to think that, I don't understand how you could do a coaching search and not include both of them in that.
Mike McCarthy was hired January 8th of that year, 2020. When do you think this hire gets made?
That's a really great question, because If I was sitting here with Jerry Jones and I handed him the phone, I don't think he could tell you definitively. Because I do think there's a part of Jerry that thought, there's a chance that we might keep going for another year or two with Mike McCarthy. And I think that's a big reason why you never heard any names leaked out in terms of Cowboys having interest, because I don't think that Jerry was 100% certain he'd be going in a coaching search right now. And so, by all means, they kick the tires, have conversations with Deion Sanders. That obviously gets a lot of people talking. That makes a lot of sense. But I don't think they definitively have a plan. Like, they probably have a plan, but I don't know that it's an exact one right now. I think that they're trying to figure that thing out as they go. But you also got to keep going back to the fact that I think most organizations probably value head coach more than the Dallas Cowboys do. You know, when Jerry says, I can find 500 coaches that could win a Super Bowl with the 90s Cowboys, and then kind of repeats it the other day after the season finale about 500 coaches being at the Senior Bowl, I just don't get the sense that he's going to feel real pressure to try and make sure that he gets the guy that everybody wants. And so it could be next week. It could be in 3 weeks.
So many critics of this Cowboys front office say they'll never win because the front office undermines the coach's authority. From what you've witnessed, do you believe that? And then the follow-up would be, when Steven does take more control of the team, or Jerry Jr. or Charlotte or whoever's next, would it have a chance to be more of a normal dynamic?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I do think that Steven enjoys the media side of it. And I do think he enjoys some of the things that his dad does, but I don't think that they're wired the same way. And so because of that, I just think that it'd be more likely that they would get a head coach with a bigger personality, somebody that I don't think Steven would mind if that person got all of the credit if the Cowboys were to get to a Super Bowl. Whereas with Jerry, there's always that part of me that I wonder if he really wants that, if he really wants a coach that, you know, like a Parcells. And that's, again, why the Deion thing doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, because if any of those big personalities win, they're getting most of the credit. And I don't think Jerry wants – I think Jerry's still fighting to get another Super Bowl to where he can get credit for it. So it's going to have to be on his terms.
I agree with you, and I think a lot of Cowboy fans, and John, I wonder your thoughts, since how long you've been covering the team, there's somewhat of an anti-Jerry push, and I think other people are looking at what's gone on, and even from a national lens, that Jerry's starting to get more blame than he ever has before. You've got an Athletic poll out right now about hope and optimism, one of your questions there moving forward. Where do you think Cowboy fans are compared to other years, and does Jerry sense that?
I definitely think he senses it. I don't think there's any question about that. I think it's even to a point, I think it factored in to his response when he was on your guys' station talking to Sean and RJ. That just was not the Jerry Jones that I've been around the last 14 years to snap like that and respond the way he did. And so that to me was kind of, I felt like that he's feeling it. He's hearing it more. He's more defensive now because, let's be honest, there's more ways to hear it too. It's not just tickets. it's not just people that show up to Oxnard for training camp. I mean, social media has changed the game in terms of it's not difficult to find out how the fan base feels. And I don't think there's any question that they're as frustrated, if not the most frustrated, that they've ever been since he's owned the team. Now, I will say it's hard for me to compare because I wasn't here in the late 80s and when he replaced Tom Landry. I'm sure there was a lot of dislike for him, but I'm sure it went away pretty quickly when they were winning Super Bowls. But right now, in terms of the last, you know, this 29-year stretch without a Super Bowl, I believe that this is the most disliked and most upset that fans have been with Jerry Jones.
And that's why I think there is somewhat, maybe it's microscopic or an outside chance that Deion gets the gig, because he's got to get the fan base engaged in whatever way is possible. I think the team's going to be worse next year, John.
Yeah, that's possible. I just think it would come down to does Jerry think that Deion can do the things he did at Colorado in the NFL? You know, and that's a big question, because, you know, there's things that you just don't have to deal with when you're in college. I understand with NIL guys are getting paid and stuff like that. But at the NFL level, you got to deal with a lot of guys that are getting paid a lot more money than that. And there's only so much you can do as a head coach, because at the end of the day, the players are the ones that are getting the bulk of the salary and they're not going anywhere. So it's just kind of like, whether it's Deion or whoever else, like, their plan can't just be their plan. Their plan has to be something that fits Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, because those guys aren't going anywhere. You know, it's not like college where you can just, especially right now, you can basically change the majority of that roster over from year to year with the transfer portal and NIL. I don't know that you can really do that in the NFL. And then the other part of it is, for a team that doesn't do much in free agency, I don't know where, like, the pull for Deion, it would really have that big of effect with players in terms of getting players to want to come to play for the Cowboys, like he's clearly gotten players to want to come play for Colorado. I don't know how much of a factor that would really be. And so I just don't know that – I don't know that you're getting the full Deion experience at the NFL level, whereas you can get that at the college level.
Are you in Detroit right now getting ready to watch the Lions whip the Commanders?
I'm not, but if they win on Saturday, I do have plans to be at the NFC Championship game in Detroit, and I would be very happy about being there.
Are you going? Would you go as a reporter for the free ticket or as a fan to live it up?
Most certainly would not go as a reporter. I already got tickets with my brother and his wife. They're both diehard Lions fans. So that is the plan. So, yes, it would be nice to see them have a victory on Saturday.
Well, best of luck to you, brother. And maybe we'd see you in New Orleans in that scenario. John Machota of The Athletic, all things Cowboys. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Salute. Yeah, there he is. You want to follow John on Twitter and, of course, read him on The Athletic. Time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has a Tuesday edition of LA Live.
Hey, man, you guys were talking about quarterbacks and Christmas gifts earlier, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I understand what Peyton Manning was saying, but is there any other cats on the squad that's got to give some Christmas gifts up? Like, I was thinking about the kicker.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one guy on that field that can actually get you the ball. That's that long snapper, right?
Yeah.
Are you hooking that fool up?
I think each room is responsible for each other. So, like, I think the three probably get together and give each other
special
some gifts.
Special teams,
yeah.
True.
Yeah. I think, and then probably Bones got involved. Maybe they got Goodwin in there, too, you know, to help out, you know, that kind of thing.
So, kicker, punter, who's usually
snapper,
a long
snapper. And then
holder?
He's the holder is the punter. So, all yeah. Right. So, but I think it's probably four. I think it's Bones and the three would be my guess.
Because a kicker only makes like $1 million or so like that. So I can get you a steak dinner.
Yeah. Some gift cards.
Yeah, I get you a fly gift card, steak dinner, bro.
Yeah. A pair of soccer shoes.
Let's go out back tonight, boys.
Yeah, I got you, man. All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live right after the great Rick James.
Alright, you squares, it's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Dog person. I had to take my dog to the vet. He's a puggo, his name's Ernie. I take Ernie to the vet. The vet goes, Ernie's 5 pounds overweight. I'm like, you're 5 pounds overweight. You bitch. Man, nobody talks about Ernie like that. That's like that's the hardest part for me, is when I have to leave on the weekends. I leave Ernie. It's just the worst. I miss him more than anything. I have a wife and two kids, but that dog, man. That dog is special.
Yeah. Well, I love when my old lady calls herself being mad at me. And she starts talking to the pets better than she talks to me. Oh, what's your name? What's your belly rubbing? And she looks at you like, yeah, it's on the kitchen stove.
Get it yourself.
Yeah, get it yourself. I'm like, you can leave. You can leave.
Yeah, when me and my wife are in a tiff, she's extra nice to the kids all of a sudden. It's like, yeah, I still have some niceness in me, but you're not getting
you're
any
not
of
getting
it.
Any of it. Yeah, man, you can get that ass out of here. That's what I say. LA Live for Tuesday, January 14th, 2024. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live. Shout out to everyone that's out there living that toxic life. Toxic life. You guys talked about it earlier. Shout out to Patrick and Brittany Mahomes for bringing another baby into the world. They welcome baby number 3. Mm-hmm. I'm only telling you this because I thought the names were pretty awesome. Well, you know, I say that tongue in cheek. They have the daughter. Her name is Golden Ray Mahomes.
Golden Ray.
Golden Ray, Ray Mahomes.
Little hippie vibes.
Okay, they have another daughter named Sterling Sky Mahomes. Sterling like silver. Okay. We got Golden.
Okay.
And then
they just crank out a bronze.
And then the son is Patrick Bronze LaVon Mahomes.
Unbelievable. Patrick Bronze. It's good.
I don't know how I'd feel about being bronze, though.
I know.
Come on.
Can you name me Patrick Platinum, maybe?
Okay, well, first of all, if I'm going to be the firstborn, I'm not bronze. I'm gold.
Yes.
The girl that was just born now should be bronze.
Yeah.
We've got this messed up,
we
family.
Do. We do.
Yeah.
But shout out to did you see? That's crazy. So what do you think the next names of the babies are going to be?
Yeah, what comes after
can
that?
Can we get a silver in there?
A copper? Well, they got the silver. With
copper's
the,
a good
copper's
one.
Good. Yeah. Copper's good.
I mean, you named your child after a dog. Kind of like a dog named Copper.
Yeah. Copper is a dog name.
I like that. Diamond.
Well, yes. I would think. I don't know. Is Diamond kind of a stripper name, though? Well,
yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Ruby?
But this is the Mahomes family, my guy. This is the Mahomes family.
It is East Texas.
Okay. I mean, the pops is a lush, and I say that respectfully. Mm-hmm. The wife is a total mess. The brother got a weird case. Why is he around? And through all of that, Patrick Mahomes is still balling. Yeah. Best quarterback in the league. Balling through adversity. How does he do it? I don't know how he does it.
Man, that's talent right there.
That's talent, bro.
Okay. I would go, okay, how about Precious? Since you're going Precious Metals.
Yeah.
Precious at the end.
Precious.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool daughter name.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big girl, Precious.
I'm seeing Ruby, Diamond, Sapphire, and then Platinum, you know?
Sapphire, okay.
Those are all.
Yeah, Diamond and Sapphire definitely are.
Definitely.
You're going to see them at
baby dolls. Yeah, definitely.
You could go with, okay, so Zarina is Persian for gold.
Hey, there we go.
That'd be a cool
Zarina.
Name.
Zarina
is
a
cool name.
I feel like I know a Zarina.
She's on stage 2.
I think I know a Zarina. She does a morning show. Okay. She's a radio.
Ooh, Mercury. That's a great football name for Mercury Morris.
Okay. Yes.
If you're a boy, R.I.P.
You
like that.
You got you a boy. It's Mercury.
To the late grade.
Hell of a pitcher, too. Somebody named Mercury out there.
Jade.
Jay, I knew a Jay. Stay away from that. Yeah, just want to let you know, shout out to those guys and their babies, precious golds and medals and things. Oh, and the last original member of the Village People. I seen this a few weeks back, and it's been
which
on my
one?
Mind since. The last guy, Victor Willis.
Which character does he play?
Oh, shoot. Was he the cop?
Was he the cop?
I think he's the cop. Victor Willis.
Victor.
Have we lost all of them except one?
Yeah, I think they're all out of here, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But a few weeks back, this man said that the YMCA is not a gay anthem.
Oh.
He says it's not.
We were getting ball sacked on that?
I'm calling big cap on what everything he's saying. I think he's seeing the Trump administration running with the song and says, ooh, I don't want to mess it up. Mm. I'm getting all the spins right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So let me not mess this up. He's the only one alive.
Yeah.
And he's changing the narrative on us. And I think it's kind of wild. Now, there was only 2 of the Village People that were openly gay.
Mm.
But they're named after Greenwich Village. Greenwich Village?
Greenwich? Is it Greenwich?
I think you say Greenwich, but it's spelled Greenwich.
Oh.
Greenwich.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, that's the Gayborhood in New York.
Okay,
so you're named after the Gayborhood.
Okay. Now, pretty telltale sign.
Come on now. And you're telling me the YMCA, he said it was just like a health song. It's about going out there and being healthy at the YMCA and working out.
Yeah.
Bro, come on, man. I know what you're doing. The first time they ever performed this song was in a gay club.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a whole lot of, I'm just saying.
One of their other songs was In the Navy?
It sure was. Let's not talk about that, okay?
Yeah.
It's not the focus of the conversation. What are you doing, dog?
Now, was this gentleman, Victor, his name right? Victor Willis? Was he one of the closeted dudes?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but he's trying to switch the narrative up.
He might
right
still
here.
Be trying to hold it down, you know, from that generation.
He's switching the narrative up, and he's trying to lie to us.
I think Lucius is right. He's getting the spins.
He's trying for
he's
the,
getting
spins.
The spins. Yes. Bro.
Well, he's getting all the royalties right now to himself.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what he's trying to switch the narrative. He doesn't want anything to mess
Indian.
It up.
Yeah, those guys aren't
Come
around.
Come on, man. Trump does a double fist dance to it. Yeah. Damn, bow, bow, bow.
That Trump dance hilarious.
Yeah. The biker.
The biker?
He had on assless chaps. Yeah. You tell me that's not gay, bro?
The wardrobe. Stop just... it.
Look at the Indian shorts.
Yeah.
Stop playing.
Yeah, this was.
Aren't all chaps assless, though?
That's what they say.
I'm just saying, I'm calling cap on him, man. He's lying to us. He's spitting on us and telling us it's raining. What else we got? Oh, I do have G-Bag of the Day, but I'm not going to do it right here because I don't have the type of time. But I do want to do G-Bag of the Year Friday.
Let's go.
Oh, okay. Let's do that. Let's go. We'll get on it.
Let's do that. G-Bag of the Year on Friday. That's what I'm thinking. Broadus, did you see that the Guardian Angels, are you familiar with the Guardian Angels in New York?
They stepped up in the subways.
There's been people trying to push people onto the subway tracks. There's been violence on the subways. Yeah, yeah. It's been a mess.
Yeah, they came back.
Guardian Angels are back, and I seen them on CNN. And the darn cameraman, he's no good. He panned down. The darn Guardian Angels had orthopedic shoes on.
Doing a lot of walking out here.
What are you going to do?
Got some diabetes on board.
They're going to protect us with the orthopedic shoes.
Got me with a beret on, right?
They
don't think this guy was an actual guardian angel, but did you see the guy like in Baltimore who saved the dude who was on the electrified train tracks?
No.
And the philanthropist like hooked him up.
Good. Like, that's how we're supposed to be doing each other right there.
Yeah.
That's how we're supposed to be doing each other. Pause. Dallas police officers are now prohibited from making arrests or issuing citations for marijuana possessions 4 ounces or less.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that law went live, huh?
It went live. Day after my birthday. I feel like it was a birthday gift.
Good for you.
Yeah. Now, they used to confiscate marijuana. They're not doing that anymore unless you got, you know, more than 4 ounces on you.
It's a lot. It's an absolute fire.
So I'm going to have to take this off your hands.
It's a dangerous street drug right here.
Sorry, you can't have this in your possession.
Now, meanwhile, Houston police, they've been doing so much confiscating of the drugs that they have too much drugs.
Oh.
And they have to get rid of it somehow because all the mice are eating it. Oh. They had a whole press conference to tell you that we're going to get rid of the drugs because mice are eating it.
I mean, think about it. They're drug-addicted rats. They're tough to deal with.
400,000
Think about it.
Pounds of marijuana in storage that the rats are the only ones enjoying it.
Come on.
1.2 million pieces of evidence with regard to the rodents. We did recover or find that we had some mice inside some of the older marijuana. And it was in October when we first noticed.
This guy's high right now.
This is a problem for property rooms everywhere in the country.
We're going to take it to my house.
Rodents, bugs, fungus, all kinds of things. Love drugs.
This is cocaine from a case in the 90s.
Big breaks of cocaine, too.
It's a 96 case. The suspect has already gone. He pled for 20 years.
Yeah, so it's just been sitting there, man. They got just stacks and stacks of drugs. Rats are eating through it. Bugs are eating through it. They have no more room. I suggest having a garage sale.
Yeah.
I think I got blocked from the Houston PD's Instagrams. I mean, you guys should have a garage sale.
Hey, just let us know where you're going to leave it, guys.
Yeah. Good Lord. Yeah, that's pretty interesting down there. I like that little drop at the beginning. I played it for that drop,
that's
though.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
I
know.
I mean, think about it. They're drug-addicted rats. They're tough to deal with.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Good comedic timing on that guy.
Yeah, good guy.
I'd vote for him.
I mean, imagine if the giant rats of New York City were cocained out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna kill the rats.
That is a different master splinter right there. They'd be having the turtles commit robberies. It wouldn't be about saving lives. Yeah, you must go on. Bring that TV. Galveston County's new sheriff. Oh. He pledges to end Jeep Week. You guys heard of Jeep Week down there?
Is that up and down the beaches?
Yes, sir, it is. The unofficial summer kickoff event for Galveston Island. Law enforcement calls it a event of violent free-for-all. Yeah. It is a violent free-for-all. That's what the law enforcement calls it. Sheriff Jimmy Fullen, he said hundreds of arrests and hundreds of injuries, and he's just tired of it. I'm sick of it. And he's setting his eyes on it. There was two shootings in 2024. It's pretty bad stuff.
Yeah. Who would have known the Jeep guy's getting after it like that, huh?
I got reminded this weekend and do a little harassing of church parking lots. Yeah. There's a new sheriff in town, and he wants to come after you. Watch out.
A controversial event in Galveston that attracts thousands of people could be soon coming to an end. The new Galveston County Sheriff Jimmy Fullen says he wants to see an end to Jeep Weekend. The event started more than a decade ago, mainly Jeep drivers showing up at the beach, but it has ballooned into something much more than that. A lot of local businesses close for the weekend, and hundreds of people each year wind up being arrested.
Because it's too violent, you get officers out there getting hurt, you get civilians being hurt, you get people sexually assaulted. It's just not good for the community over there, period. We're, in essence, going to shut down Jeep Weekend.
And just last year, one person was killed in a shooting. More than 300 people were arrested during Jeep Weekend. There is no word at this point on exactly how the new sheriff is going to bring Jeep Weekend to an end.
Jeep guys. You know, I had an encounter with some Jeep / ATV guys about 4 or 5 years ago on a camping trip, Pismo Beach, California. Got to camp on the beach. They were wild and crazy and hammered and fighting.
Fighting each other.
Jeepers, yeah. Creepers.
And get back in the same car.
And that was just the wives. Yeah.
just the wives. Lucius, do you know if they do bike week up there at up in North Dakota anymore, that, you know, with the motorcycles and stuff like that?
Sturges?
Yeah, they still do that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You can't take that away from the peoples.
I kind of wondered if that was one of the
things. That's a Harley deal, right?
Well, it was a little bit of everything going on up there. I wondered if they were going to try and stop that.
They can't get rid of that. That's half of their economy. What are you talking about?
Well, I know, but I know the beach thing for the Galveston, they're probably looking for some income too. But I just thought maybe some of the violence and stuff like that. I didn't know if Sturgis had gone away.
Yeah, somebody in the comments of that beach week, this Jeep week situation said that it's going to turn into Houston is going to turn into Gilligan's Island.
Oh.
Because it's going to be so empty out there because they're kicking off all the fun. You're running Jeep Week out and you're running Kappa Beach out. Nobody's going to come show up.
Yeah. 682 says, I went to Jeep Weekend 2 years ago, all caps, so many drugs.
So many drugs.
Hey. Hold on tight because I'm tweaking and telling you. And I heard that she want to show me who she be. I'm kind of fucking with it. Show me some more. Oh my God, I still love that. All right, before we get out of here, I've got this from a lot of Tolos. You guys seen that AI Jerry?
Dude, incredible.
It's the best one I've seen.
It's pretty funny.
It's unbelievable.
I avoided it for a while, and then finally I was like, all right, it's enough. I'll click on it.
Yes.
Hilarious. Hilarious. AI Jerry, why did he fire Coach McCarthy?
I fired Mike McCarthy because he looks like a f-ing pork chop. And I hate that big-ass play call sheet he holds during games. We all know it's a Perkins menu. I'm not even sure we need a coach. Hell, maybe we already have a coach in mind. Maybe he's sitting right in front of you, half drunk on Johnny Walker Blue with only an Egg McMuffin in his belly and a pocket full of Dinger pills. Maybe he's 82 years old and needs his ass wiped from time to time, depending on how much Salisbury steak he's ate.
Hilarious.
Look, I'm going to do things my way, and my way is terrible, but if you don't like it, then tough he said the kitty, but the milk kept coming.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm never going to die, mother. I drink 8 ounces of hog's blood every day, and I'm a vampire feeding off mass disappointment. So learn how to accept meaningless primetime games forever. What I'm looking for in our next head coach is someone that values analytics and also someone that lets me take he and his wife to a Hojo's and sit in the cuck chair.
Unbelievable.
Sit in the Hojo's and sit in the cuck chair.
Vampire feeding off of mass disappointment is wild.
That was the bar of the deal.
Instead of the energy vampire, is a disappointment vampire.
Good Lord. Salisbury steaks. I get it. I get it.
Egg McMuffins.
Yeah. All right. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. That is my time. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I will holla.
There he goes. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. I do have a pretty good list here of five-time G-Bag of the Day champions from 2024. G-Bag of the Year. You heard it from Lucius right there. Is now scheduled for Friday. So looking forward to that. Woo. Okay, when we come back, Wolchuk, where are you taking us?
Yeah, we've got some fresh audio. Jason Garrett talking about who should be the next head coach of your Dallas Cowboys. And more on the Chuck Wagon next.